Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline starts now.
That's right. Here we are on Loveline again. The phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. And it is my great pleasure and the delight to welcome into the studio tonight none other than a dear, 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 dear friend of the show, Busy Phillips. How are you?
Hey, I'm so good. How are you?
Good. You're now on Love, Inc.
Mm-hmm.
Right. UPN Thursday night, 8:30. You played Denise. Tell us about it.
It's cool. It's a sitcom with Holly Robinson Pete and myself, and we play matchmakers in New York City who are sort of professional wing women, and we go out into the dating world with our clients and help set them up. It's really interesting because my boyfriend and I were talking about it. It's like a procedural sitcom. So it's like a CSI, but it's a sitcom, you know, because we have these clients that come in every week, and those are really our storylines. Normally on a sitcom, you know, you have like your friends and like their storylines are, you know, the things that you follow week to week. But this is, it's interesting. It's fun.
Would you get to showcase your general brilliance as an actress? Is that what you do every week?
Well, it's a different kind of brilliance with a sitcom. Something that I haven't showcased before. And
I wonder if people remember, Busy and I had a poignant moment on screen at Dawson's Creek.
Indeed.
I liked it. That was fun. That was good.
And Drew, did you see today that our friend Michelle Williams was nominated for an Academy Award?
Oh my God, that's wild.
Isn't that fantastic?
Think about, you were living with those folks.
I know. Well, she and I are still really good friends, so I talked to her early this morning, and she's so excited. I'm so excited for. I'm actually going to probably go with her.
What was she in?
Brokeback Mountain. Have you not seen it yet? You never get to see anything, huh?
No, I know. But I'm going to go see that one. But
it's really phenomenal.
She got nominated. I'm going with her.
She asked me. It's not like I'm.
Right.
I forced myself on. But I mean, please, to get to go to the Oscars, it's like such an amazing experience. I don't know. Really fantastic.
Adam and I went out to North Carolina and spent a week with Busy and the gang. And how weird is it? You're living with Katie Holmes, Michelle Williams, and everybody's sort of in the public eye.
It is sort of interesting.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that show was kind of like a pop culture
phenomenon.
Phenom for all of them.
Well, so and, for you too, like Freaks and Greeks. That's the other thing people know, but is it Freaks and Greeks? Freaks and Geeks.
Freaks and Greeks.
But that's another one I bet you still get recognized for, right?
Yeah, even, you know, I think even more so than Dawson's Creek, because I was sort of only on the last two seasons of The Creek.
Right.
And, and Freaks and Geeks is such a cult hit, you know,
yes.
And people now have the DVDs and they're circulating. And I get people all the time who are like, I just Netflixed Freaks and Geeks and I've watched the whole season and I'm totally obsessed and you're the best. I'm like,
wow.
Thanks.
That's
I did
cool.
it when I was 19, but it's great.
I think that's when I first met you. It was a while ago.
Yeah, I came in with Seth Rogen, and we did the show together, was just in 40-Year-Old Virgin last year.
Oh, my
God. Yeah, all the people that I work with end up having really great careers in film, I'm hoping for mine.
Well, listen, seriously, you stole a show in White Chicks. That was great.
Oh, well, thanks,
no,
Drew.
Seriously, that was good.
Thank you.
And another little known fact about Busy is she was hired by Mattel to play a live Barbie. What they didn't know is she had a piercing in her nasal septum at the time.
That's right. Did I have my septum ring when I met you?
Yes.
For the first time. Didn't I pull it out, I think?
Yes.
Yeah.
You still have it?
No. I'm an old woman now, Drew. I just bought a house. I don't have room for stuff like that in my life.
All right, Mom, let's take some calls.
I know, totally.
Ready? All right, here's Kathy, 25. Kathy, you're on with Busy Phillips.
Hi.
Hi.
I actually was calling because I've been engaged now for like 18 months, and recently my fiance has been asking, you know, to figure out a pet name for him because he has, you know, just tons for me. And
what does he call you?
Girly.
Come on, what does he call you?
I can't use any for him. Well, I mean, like cutie pie and, you know, just girly things that are things like that, but I can't figure anything for him.
I think you should call him back with girly names. I think that'd be fine.
I've tried it. He's like, come on.
Why is this so important to him?
Not creative.
Huh.
don't think she heard this.
That seems weird. Why is this so important to him? Are you not affectionate to him?
It's not that. It's just that, you know, Romeo and Stallion and things like that.
Well, no, that's weird. That would be so bizarre. And what decade would that even be from? Has anyone ever called him? I mean.
1640.
No. 1640. No. What about just like a baby? Like, baby, what's up? Baby.
You know, just I don't know. That's kind of.
Here's what you do. I'll tell you what my boyfriend and I did when we first started dating is we did it as a joke to one another and then
it stuck.
And then
we did
stuck.
That too. You're right. My wife and I did that too. It kind of sticks.
It does stick.
Yes.
So kind of make fun of it, but don't let him in on it since it seems to be something that's bothering him. But maybe like in your head, just think like you don't really mean.
I'm gonna have a reveal right now. Remember the movie Victor Victoria?
Yes.
And what's her name? played the stripper type character with Leslie Ann Warren.
Uh huh.
And she kept calling James Gardner Pookie. And my wife started calling me that, like just to be as obnoxious as possible. And 20 years later, still doing it.
Yes. See, pick maybe try Pookie.
Try Sexy Beast.
Sexy Beast.
And also, guys want something really substantial. But Kathy, do what you feel. Be serious. You know, come on. Just that's the whole point of all this. All right, here's Tracy, 31.
Hi. My question is about like painful orgasms and what can cause it. My doctor seemed to think that it was endometriosis coming back.
Yeah, that can sure do it. See, ooh, how awful.
And I guess a sub question to this is, how long can you have endometriosis before it starts causing like infertility?
Well, the general rule of thumb is, we were talking about this last night too, is that if you have endometriosis, it tends to affect fertility. And so women in their 30s tend to have more trouble with fertility if they've had endometriosis. So you kind of got to get on it, Tracy.
Well, I had the surgery for it 5 years ago.
No, I don't mean correcting the endometriosis. I mean getting on with having kids.
Yeah, I'm actually working on that.
But, all right, good.
I'm trying to get settled in my career first.
What do you do?
I am getting my certification to teach.
Okay.
So all I'm right, doing but my just, student it, teaching just right now.
Get it going, though. You got a couple more years here, and it can really start to fall off after that, especially with endometriosis, okay?
Okay.
All right, and painful orgasm.
They put me on season L.
Yep.
So that, to kind of be a suppressive.
Yep.
How well is that supposed to work?
Well, it's like birth control pill, but you're not going to get pregnant on that, obviously.
Right.
You know, here's the comedy.
Drew really wants you to get knocked up.
No,
I think he's pushing it.
Well, I rarely push, you know, and this is a reason that I might. But I'm just thinking about how different men and women are and how she's having painful orgasms. And so she's probably avoiding that now. And a man would be like, all right, whatever, let's keep going.
right.
I'm going to do that anyway.
Well, I don't know. If it hurts him, he probably
will. A guy, I'll keep going. A guy, you got to wear his kneecaps off. Whatever. This is April. What kind of boyfriend do you have? April 22.
An amazing one.
Hi. Okay. Yes. My question is, I've been on my period every other week for the last 10 weeks. I went down to the health department and got on birth control a month ago. And then for the past 3 weeks, I have been on my period. And I called the nurse practitioner at the health department, and she said that it would just take time for it to start working, and in the meantime to take 800 milligrams of ibuprofen 3 times a day, and that should stop it.
Ooh,
and
that just, I don't know about that. Make sure more you gotta
be sure.
I thought
that thins your blood.
It does. Ibuprofen will help with the pain.
And I also thought that it would decrease the effect of birth control, too.
Not necessarily, yeah, but I more that you want to take iron to make sure you don't lose iron from all the bleeding. And the other thing is, did you have a workup for why you were having the irregular bleeding to begin with?
Well, I had a pap smear and I had a pelvic, but that's
no.
all I did. They didn't test or any blood tests or anything, and that's what I thought was really strange.
Welcome to public healthcare system.
Exactly, that's what I was thinking.
You need a thyroid test at minimum. Really? And there should be other tests, too. You may have ovarian cysts. You could have endometriosis, like our last caller. There could be something wrong with your pituitary and hypothalamic function. And then the easiest thing, hopefully, is just a thyroid problem. But that needs to be checked out. And yes, indeed, if you have bleeding on the pill, maybe it's the wrong pill. Maybe it will settle down. But I think you need to see a doctor about this.
And if for no other reason, then it's really annoying. You've got to be so annoyed that you've been bleeding for like 10 weeks.
Did you ever go on the depot shot, Busy?
No, I didn't.
because, you know, that makes people bleed for 3 months.
I had a friend who swears like it made her lose her mind for a year.
She went
like completely hormonally nuts. Her hair started falling out. She lost like 20 pounds. Like,
yes, it can.
She just lost it.
It's a
horror story.
It's a great contraception. Was she taking it the whole time, or she was all off balance even after getting off it?
Even after getting off of it. She was on it for, I guess, 6 months. And then even after the following like 6 months, she was just a mess.
Oh, that's bad.
But
Depo-Provera is a great contraceptive, and it's convenient and whatnot, but not much thought or not much education goes into telling young women what they can expect, which is bleeding for 3 months and then no period thereafter. How it works.
Is the shot just like, you know, in the standard pill, there are all different kinds of combinations of the estrogen and progesterone or whatever.
Yes.
Is it just the Depo is just like one combination?
It's just one size fits all.
So how do you know if it will?
It's just progesterone. The particular Depo shot is just progesterone.
Really?
And a lot of women, you know, it's very funny. It drops their sex drive. It can make them depressed. You can lose their hair. But some women are so funny. Some women have the exact opposite response. They get sort of more lean and they feel better. It's hard to predict. But it is a good contraceptive, but you got to be prepared that there are lots and lots of side effects. Here's Eric, 28.
Hey, Dr. Drew, how you doing?
Good, Eric. What's going on?
I got a couple questions for you. I've got a foot fetish, and I'm wondering if that's normal or if it's... because if I buy porn or if I look at pornography, it always has something to do with women's feet.
Wild.
Is it normal or is it?
Well,
not
it's
normal
common. I don't know that I would call it necessarily normal, but it's common.
It is common.
Yeah, I mean, and
what is that? What is it that you find particularly sexy or like a turn on about the feet, Eric?
You know, women with nice feet, with painted toenails, I mean, that is just, that turns me on.
Is that something about being, like, higher class, maybe?
I don't know.
Really pretty manicured feet.
Busy struggling to make sense of this.
I'm just trying. I had this one fan letter once when I was on Freaks and Geeks. I was 19, and I was so excited to get these fan letters. And I opened it up to this guy. It's like, "Dear Miss Phillips, you're a wonderful actress. I think the world of your character on Freaks and Geeks. Would you send me a picture of your feet? I think you're very pretty on the show. Your character is very interesting. Please send me a picture of your feet." And he said it like 5 times in the letter and then ended with, please send me a picture of your feet. I was like so freaked out.
And so you sent it?
No.
No, okay.
I didn't.
Yeah, I'm not that bad. I wouldn't write you and ask you for pictures of your feet. But if you
would you buy porn and look at the feet? Right?
And I have never seen a satisfactory explanation for why this occurs. Now, there's
all kinds
of theories. It is. I mean, just from, I say this all the time on the show these days, which is that things that become terrorizing or feel overwhelming in childhood become sources of immense attraction in adulthood. So if you have an abusive alcoholic dad, you got to be attracted to the abusive alcoholic boyfriend. If you have, you know, a vanity mom, that's the kind of girl you have to go after. And there's theories that something happens, something sort of difficult happens at a certain period of sort of individuation, and you're down there low by the feet, and somehow that then becomes the focus, and now you're attracted to the feet. I don't know.
When I was a kid, I grew up in a great family. I didn't have any alcoholic parents, or I didn't have any, real trauma as a young kid. But my mom's sisters, my aunts used to come to the house, and, they always used to wear, you know, high heels and bare feet, and they always had their toenails polished. And so,
that's cute.
So it's
crushes on your aunts.
It's an arousal. You're aroused by it. Yeah.
So I think that, and they were all beautiful women. So I think that may be part of it. But I just, you know, it's one of those things. If I date a woman and I find out she's got some ugly feet, I'll break up with her.
What is that movie with Eddie Murphy and the feet?
Yeah, that's exactly. That's it.
Yes.
And I guess, you know, why should be, just because sort of preoccupations with breasts or butt are more common, why should we be weirded out by feet? You know what I mean?
Right.
Well, you know, I mean, at least the breast and the rear end have something to do with fertility and you know, fecundity and that kind of stuff. But maybe the feet have to carry all that. I don't know. I don't know what the hell God was thinking when he set the human up. I don't know. Lauren, 24.
It's cute.
Yes, it was sweet. I agree.
I think it was a sweet call.
Yeah. Lauren?
Yes, uh-huh.
Hey, what's up? You're on the air.
I wanted to ask a question about my boyfriend looking at gay porn.
Good times.
Excellent time.
Excellent.
Just a really, really positive sign for your relationship and where it's going to head in the next few years.
Well, my question really is the fact that when I look at porn, I'm more turned on by women. And so I want to know if it's like the same concept.
I wish it were true. But no, it isn't. Because here's the deal. Because you tell me if this is true or not. That pornography is sort of designed to arouse men. And so the kinds of interaction between males and females on pornography is sort of not necessarily pleasant for women to watch. But the female-female stuff is a little more, you know, in keeping with something arousing and tender that they can at least watch.
Yeah.
With men, no. Mm-mm. Men have like a visceral heterosexual men have like a crazy visceral response to looking at gay porn. It's like they'll be, if they happen to glance at the screen and be like, oh my God, okay.
Right.
Phew.
Right.
If he actually looks at it and gets aroused by it, that means he's aroused by it. And
it wasn't like actual sex, but it was a one man and he was jacking off. So it wasn't like sex between two men.
Oh, no.
It's still not okay. It's an interesting sign. It's whatever. I mean, you can ask him. It's a sign, though. I mean, I think.
But how's your sex life?
Great. Completely happy, and yeah.
And the guy he brings in, that's okay too.
No. Okay. No, nothing like that. But
how long have you been with him?
About 2 years.
And you're 24, is that it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You mean did you just catch him looking at something incidental one time, or does he make a habit of this?
No, he doesn't make a habit of it.
Well, you don't know that. I just have to say to play devil's advocate. Like,
but I mean,
maybe
it was just a fascination. He just got to it. I mean, he's a liberated man after all.
Okay.
I don't know, Lauren.
If it bothers you, why not bring it up? Why not say
bring it up.
At that time when I did catch him, I did bring it up, and we talked about it for a couple hours, and I just flat out asked him, you know, are you gay? Are you, you know, why do you look at it? Does it turn you on? What? And he told me basically, like, no, he's not gay, obviously.
Not obviously. He's looking at gay porn.
Yeah,
anyway.
Seriously.
Obviously. How dare you?
That it interests him. Like, it turns him on slightly, but he would never watch, like, gay porno, like, two men having sex.
So he just finds it sort of tantalizing.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, whatever. That's fine.
I don't know.
I disagree.
I don't
think
it's fine.
Well, if he's making a habit of it, it's worrisome. And I do think that what people look at in pornography does tell them, say, a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, all right, let's get to Adam's 21. Adam?
Hey, that's me.
What's up?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
What's up?
Okay. Yeah, my question is, it's kind of hard to talk about. I've been with my girlfriend for 3.5 years now. I'm 21, so that was right after high school. And we're very serious, and we're thinking about getting married later on. But the problem is that we've never been with anybody but each other, and we never really had any serious boyfriends or girlfriends outside of each other. And so, I mean, I think that's our biggest problem is that we don't really...
Busy's going to lay one on you. Go ahead, Busy.
I'm
going to
take
ahead.
This one.
All right, go.
I'm going to take this one. Don't get engaged, okay? And don't get married. And you stay with her until one of you cheats on each other or you break up, okay? And it probably will happen. It probably will. You will probably at some point find yourself attracted to another woman enough so that you either break up with your girlfriend, who you probably will still love very deeply and care about and all of that. Like, you know, you just, it will happen. So just don't get married.
My question is, we're considering, we realize that one of us is going to cheat, but instead of going ahead and doing that, we're thinking about taking a break, still being together, but
you know what a break leads to? A breakup. You're not gonna, it's like, that's fine, but it's the beginning of the end. If you're gonna take a break, just break up. Just admit that, like, you know, we need to experience some other things. Let's try to still be close. You'll end up not being close, but, you know, just.
Or you won't end up breaking up. You'll end up clinging to each other and never really having the time off.
Experiencing anything. Yeah. Well, Whatever.
Best of luck to you. Adam, listen, just the doubts that you're expressing should tell you volumes about what you actually want. You don't want to get married right now. You want to go experience yourself. That's completely normal. It's appropriate. That's fine. Yeah. The hard thing about relationships that are this tight at your age is you don't know when they're over. This relationship would last about 6 weeks, 5 years from now.
Right.
And you don't know how to end it. You can't imagine any. You're just so idealized and enmeshed. It's just impossible. So,
Adam, let me tell you how long I hung on to my last boyfriend for. About 3.5 years too long.
Nice.
You know, it should have been 6 months. It should have been 6 months.
Were you doing it from Wilmington and stuff, too?
Yeah, remember? Remember that guy? And you told me to break up with him when you were in Wilmington. You're like, Busy, it's never going to work out. Break up with him. And then he, like, sent me flowers to set. And I was like, but right, he loves me.
You were so angry
It's
going to
work
see?
Out.
You
I was.
See?
I was so angry with you. And lo and behold, you were right. And that's the way it goes.
And look how you've learned and you've grown.
And look how I've learned.
And you're with a great guy now.
Yeah, I'm with a fantastic guy now. Everything works out the way it's supposed to. Adam, break up with her.
My problem is that I have no reason to. I love her so much.
Sure you do, honey. Yes, you do. You just told us the reason. You're 21 and you want to experience something else. You're 21 and you don't want to be with this same woman for the rest of your life. You just told us what the reason is. That you love her and that's fantastic, but that you want to experience something else. And that's valid, too. That's not a bad thing. Right.
All right. Anderson, you got to put her on hold for him on hold for not Busy. The caller on hold. My computer just farted and I'm trying to get it booted back up again.
Uh-oh.
All right. That is Busy Phillips. You can see her on Love Inc. UPN Thursday 8:30. She plays Denise. Describe Denise to us.
Denise is a pragmatic, fun, loving young woman who, I don't know, Drew, she's a character.
Character, got it.
A character. Where,
again, she showcases her stunning brilliance. And that's Busy Phillips you hear. You know her from Dawson's Creek and Freaks and Geeks. And I'm Dr. Drew. And the phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. We'll be right back after this.
Loveline, we'll be right back. Be right back.
Hey everybody, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Dr. Drew. She is Busy Phillips.
Hello.
You know her from Dawson's Creek and from Freaks and Geeks. And now UPN Love Inc. Denise, USA. The hell?
Love Inc. UPN. UPN doesn't actually technically exist anywhere. Did you hear?
Yeah, what is it now being called?
It will be the CW as of next television season. So the fall, I guess.
Which channel are they going to retain?
I have no idea. I'm really curious to see how it all. Oh, my boyfriend's holding up a 5. They're gonna be the WB channel.
Yeah,
I guess.
Get rid of that dubba crap too.
No, yeah, that's right. That's gone. That's gone. So,
what was I thinking? I was thinking about that whole crew you were living in North Carolina with, and did you get close with Katie when you were out there?
No.
She seemed very nice, but she did seem rather shy and withdrawn, and I didn't really get to talk to her very much either.
Sure. Yeah. I don't know. No, Michelle and I became really good friends over the course of the few years that I was there, and I still talk to James a bit and his wife. They're nice. I don't know what he's doing right now. And I saw talk Josh to, somewhere weird.
Josh's a great guy.
Yeah, he's great.
Okay, let's see here. Now, for some reason, my computer is nothing's coming up. So, Anderson, I want you to pick up line 6. Jason?
Yes, how you doing?
Good, you're on the air.
Hey, my question is, all right, like every morning, every afternoon, every night, I'm going to be straightforward, my ejaculator is like my balls, they itch.
Good times.
And
totally exciting.
It
is an itch that needs to be scratched. What? What?
I want to get this straight, though, Busy. It's every morning, every afternoon, every evening.
And every evening. Is it right after you eat? Do you think you're allergic to something you're eating and it makes your balls itch?
No, it's like first thing I wake up, I just start scratching myself, and then I can't stop. And then sometimes I'll scratch, or it just starts itching even more, or...
First of all, whenever anyone out there, whenever you are itching, you have an itch and you scratch it, you're more likely to produce more itching. Exactly. If you scratch enough, you'll get thickening of the skin. Then it really becomes persistently itchy, and it's called lichen simplex chronicus then. Now, I've never seen lichen simplex on somebody's nuts, for. They're not sac, technically. But the most common thing for itching down there is fungus. So all you got to do is go to a, you know, just go to the pharmacy and get some Lamisil or Lotrimet or something. How about that?
All right, because, yeah, I mean, because I've been checked up for STDs because, I mean, I'm
sexually... Herpes can do that, too, but I really doubt that's what this is. This is probably just a plain old jock itch fungus. That's why they call it jock itch.
Oh, interesting. Is that from having dirty drawers or what?
Moist drawers, Busy, please. Moist.
I don't know. It's all suspicious to me.
Sarah, 22.
Oh, hi. What's up?
Hey, Sarah.
Hello.
Sarah.
Hi, my question is, a couple months ago, about 6 months ago, I got diagnosed with general herpes. I had an outbreak, and I went, and I found out I had it. I was with a guy for about a year. I didn't sleep with anyone else for probably like a year and a half. And when I got them, I told him, and, you know, he accused me of sleeping around or whatever, because he said he never had any, you know, symptoms.
Nice strategy.
Yeah. And
a classy guy, too. So you're dating the right guys, at least.
No, he's not. We're not dating anymore.
All right. Good for you.
I know. He refuses to go get checked and whatever. But whether or not he gave them to me or not, which he did, either way, he would have them since we were having unprotected sex for a year anyways. He's got them, right?
Well, he could have them in his mouth, too. That's the other place you could get it, right?
Ouch.
Yeah, I'm not really into that, actually, believe it or not.
Oh. Ooh.
I know. I think I'm the only woman on Earth.
Well, that means...
I don't think you are.
No.
I think a lot of women are afraid of their own sexuality. Therefore, they don't go for it.
No. What happens...
Oh, no, I'm not afraid of it. I'm just not into it.
No, Busy, what happens is that as women get towards more orgasmic with intercourse, they tend to be uncomfortable with oral sex. It's too intense. Mm-hmm. Right, Sarah?
Right, I guess.
What you said.
Do you have multiple orgasms with intercourse?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, and multi-orgasmic women find oral sex unpleasant.
Oh.
And so that's Sarah.
All right.
That just doesn't do it for me, you know?
Yeah, no, that's how I knew you were multi-orgasmic, because that's that person, and that's a particular biological configuration, and we can't turn you into somebody who likes oral sex, and we can't turn somebody who likes oral sex into what you do. It's a different thing. So anyway, yes, you got it from him, although some people have it for long periods of time and don't know it. He may be one of those people.
Okay.
Men, obviously, it's a little less common than women. Women, it's very common for them to have it and not know it. Are you doing okay with it now?
Am I okay with it? What, having it?
Is it recurring frequently, or are you on
medication? Oh, no, I've only had the one outbreak, and then they gave me the Valtrex for like 10 days, and then I've never had any problems with it since then.
What is a bad outbreak?
Oh, it was awful. I could barely walk. It was horrible.
Oh God, that sounds horrible.
Yeah, I didn't know it was wrong, and I was like, what is going on, right? And then I went to the doctor, and I was like, oh, well, that could be why.
Can guys not get tested for it? What is the...
What do you mean?
What is the thing? What is the one where like the guys can't get the STD where guys can't get tested for it, and it's only like until they have an outbreak that you know that they have it?
That's herpes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's hard. It's very, very hard to test for it unless you actually have something you can look at or swab.
So if he never like gets, if he doesn't have an outbreak and he gets tested, they would say that he didn't have it?
Well, no, they'd say, oh, yeah, you've got antibodies, but a lot of people have antibodies and still don't have it. So he really needs to have an outbreak. But obviously he's got something. And so the question is, was it on his mouth, on his genitalia? How did he transmit that to you? Obviously not his mouth either. It must be on his genitalia. So what are you going to do? This is Vanessa, 20.
Hi.
Hello.
What's up?
Well, my question is, I got my clitoris pierced 6 months ago.
Congratulations.
Awesome.
Like, Mazel tov.
And
as your people say, Vanessa.
Mm-hmm. But what?
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
But and it was really good at first, and then like a couple months later, it started hurting like really bad, and then it would like go away, and now it's just I don't feel pretty much anything during intercourse.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of that. I heard that some people get very, very sensitive for a while, and then everything just
gets shuts off.
It shuts off. Yeah, so it's sort of overstimulated. I would obviously suggest you take that out.
You ruined yourself. No, I'm kidding.
Well, you might have. You don't know, and you've changed yourself. That's for sure. And why should that be a surprise when you put a spear through a body part that it's changed? Gee, let me use my imagination for a second.
Why did you do it? Can I ask you, Vanessa?
Peer pressure.
Peer pressure?
I have a valid answer for that.
You what?
My boyfriend, pretty much.
Why did he want you to get it?
Because he's a freak.
He's a freak, huh?
Mm.
Well, that sounds like you're making good choices. Yeah, why?
Because I don't know. That relationship's going down the drain. That's a whole other story.
You sacrificed your clitoris to that guy.
Yeah.
Take the ring out and get rid of the boyfriend.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's what I suggest.
Well, because I took it out and it's still like no feeling really has come back.
Yeah, and there really, it's not as though there's some magical treatment or some medication or surgery or something that can suddenly repair that. I've heard of this before, and I'm assuming it kind of comes back, but I've not really, it's not something in the medical literature.
Well, I imagine you could probably do some nerve damage, couldn't you?
Yeah, you would think. You would think.
And scar tissue. 15.
You would think.
It's gross.
But that's an area that takes quite a... is capable of tolerating quite a beating.
Quite a beating.
Well, in that, let me tell you what I mean, that they are studying women that have these female genital mutilations. And
found
the one big article I read on that said that even women that had their clitorises cut out were still able to have orgasmic function.
Just made me hurt really bad. You know, the other thing, too, is that, I mean, for women, I think a lot of times it can be psychological. And I think this girl obviously sounds like she's miserable with a boyfriend. So maybe.
Oh, good. She's good pickup.
You know, maybe like she's not.
She's not into it. She's not into it.
She's not into it. She needs to dump him.
Yeah. Jessica, 15.
What's crack-a-lacking, guys?
Hey, Jessica, you're on with Busy Phillips.
Hey.
She's
like, who's that?
Hello?
What's your question?
Something's wrong with me. Like, I don't know what's wrong with me. Like, I'm compulsive and always stressed and paranoid. And I've asked my mom to take me to a psychologist and stuff, but she just kind of blows it off and just doesn't care. I don't know what to do.
That's sad. Can you tell somebody at school?
I've thought about it. Like, today I just, like, really thought about it, but I'm not going to school tomorrow. And, yeah, I'm just...
Wait, why aren't you going to school tomorrow?
Because I'm weak. I just feel sick.
Uh-oh. You just feel... Oh. Honey, you're depressed. That's why you feel sick.
I mean, like, I smoked weed, like, a lot lately. Well, I haven't smoked for, like, 2 weeks. But I've been trying to quit because I became paranoid and stuff.
Right.
But
you smoke enough weed, you will eventually get paranoid on it.
Yeah. But I've always been, like, a really, really, really nervous child growing up and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm just to a point where I'm...
Well, what's making you nervous? I mean, is your home life is maybe a little unstable? Your mom's not around, or your dad's not around, or what?
My mom and dad, they just don't care about each other. My dad really cares about my mom, but she's cheated on him, and she still is, and he knows that he just doesn't care. Well, he does, but he doesn't like to believe it. And then they're alcoholics, and they argue every night.
Okay.
Yeah. You're in a bad sort of home situation. You're probably in high school, right? 15.
Yeah.
So that sucks, too.
Do you have a doctor?
Well, I'm supposed to be going to the doctor Friday for my nerves.
Good.
Because I told her to schedule it, and she scheduled it Monday. But then she just canceled it and said, okay, we'll go Friday. So.
All right, well, at least you're going. Look, you're going, Jessica. Now's not the time to raise a big fuss. Just get to Friday and get in there and talk to the doctor about it.
And go in there without your mom, I think.
Yeah, that's what I've done that before, but she, like, makes a big deal. Like, what are you trying to keep away from me? Like, I can't tell her nothing. I don't trust her that much.
Well, you know, anyone that deals with adolescents, again, your age, 13, 14, 15, to all the way up to maybe even 19, should first meet with you and the parents and agree that there are ground rules. You are entitled to completely confidential health care. That's the law. And the fact is, you need to meet alone with that doctor and feel comfortable that anything you say is going to be kept confidential, other than I'm going to hurt myself or I'm going to hurt somebody else. But anything else, you have a complete right to confidential health care. Mm-hmm. Now, what I usually do is meet with both together, you with your parents, and my computer's giving me endless trouble tonight. You meet the parents together and then meet with each of you separately and then meet with both of you back together again. It's tough for doctors to do that because there's just no time to do it anymore.
Right.
That's the proper way to do it with an adolescent. At least, at very minimum, meet together, set the ground rules, hear what each other has to say in front of one another, and then separate and meet with the doctor and go from there.
Yeah, okay? I've always tried to do that. Like, I've told my dad before, but, like, I can never talk to him because, like, they're only sober, like, maybe a week.
I know. And the other thing then is Alateen, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Have you gone to Alateen ever?
Huh?
Gone to Alateen ever?
What's that?
It's a
support group for teenagers with alcoholic parents. And siblings, I guess, too, or alcoholic people in their lives.
Yeah, close people. And other kids are dealing with what you're dealing with can sit around and talk and support one another, and it can be very, very helpful. If you want to look up an area, if you want to look up a Alateen in your area, just look in the phone book, call AA, ask for a time and a place, and they'll even come pick you up sometimes. But that's something you can do for yourself, too. It'll be very, very helpful.
All right. Thank you.
Anderson, if you could put her on hold again. I'm having the computer issues here. Busy Phillips on UPN, or now it's called WC? CW? What is it?
CW. It's the CW, but not for a while. We've got a few more months of UPN.
I thought they changed the name to the wash closet. Okay,
no.
It's Thursday, 8:30. Love, Inc. Denise is the character. She's on with Holly Robinson-Pete. You know from Freaks and Geeks and from Dawson's Creek. We'll be back with more Busy and more you after this.
Standing by.
Loveline will be back in a minute.
Everybody, it's Loveline. The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. Busy Phillips, none other. You are so good on this show. You are.
Thank you. It's just fun.
It's fun to work with you.
Thanks. Nice I love being here.
Oh, well, keep going. Oh, no. Am I? Yeah. No. What are you going to do?
No.
Oh, Anderson, pick up line 2 for me, will you?
How annoying with your computer.
You're making me work, dude. I don't like it.
I know.
I'm sorry. I know. You normally just sleep and, you know, get high. But whatever. Tonight you work. Natasha, 18.
Hi. I had a question. I don't really know the terminology of the vagina structures or whatever, but...
oh, my God. That's awesome.
Okay. The inner lips, what are they called?
The inner lips. Yes, that'll do.
Labia, right?
Well, yeah, that's a Latin word for lips. Okay.
Well, is it normal to have one side of it, like the extra skin, like hanging?
It is normal. It is truly normal. It is not necessarily something you want. A lot of people actually have that corrected, but it's quite normal and quite common.
Is that something that would turn guys off?
No.
They really don't care.
Yeah, they're fine.
I'm partly afraid to have oral sex because of that.
Oh, that sucks.
No. Do not worry about it. Trust me, guys do not care. Some women have more tissue hanging out than others. Sometimes it's asymmetric, like what you're describing. And women do sort of fret about it, but you notice we've had this call 1,000 times from women. We've never had a guy complaining about it. Okay?
Okay.
Now, I did a show for Discovery Health Channel last year, and we actually did a series, a whole sort of story about vaginal reconstruction. I was very skeptical about that whole procedure, and I scrubbed in on a couple of them. And lo and behold, they're interesting procedures, and the women are very happy when they get them. There's one done with a laser that's pretty good. It's not cheap. It's a real surgery. You have to go under anesthesia and stuff. But I would strongly, strongly urge you to kind of think that through when you're an adult. Daniel, 22.
Oh, I need water.
You do?
Hello?
Daniel?
They're really milking the call out.
Daniel.
Yeah.
Hey, do you want to be on the radio?
Yeah, I want to be on the radio.
Then start talking.
To give us your bogus call?
Oh, hey, this is Dan.
Yeah, what's up?
Dan. Dan is bogus.
Not too much. Totally. I was just calling because,
I'm with you. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, you guys hear me? Okay, good. I was calling because I'm a chronic masturbator, and I've tried a lot of things to solve my problem.
Like what?
Like, what have I tried? I went through therapy for it because I thought it might have been controlling my will problem, but I couldn't.
Hey, Dan?
Yeah.
You know, there's an international sort of regulation on bogus calls. That when I call you out on being bogus, you have to admit it. It's an international agreement. So, this is a bogus call. Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah?
Excuse me?
Okay. Annis, what do you think?
I can't hear you.
He was too stupid to tell. I couldn't tell.
Yeah, well, that's a good call, too.
Want me to go back and dig for more?
Yeah, I'd like you to.
Okay, here we go. All right, so you went for therapy. Why? He's hanging up.
No, he needs some water.
He totally needs some water.
Daniel, you there?
Maybe milk. Did you hear him say milk?
Or some milk.
Maybe milk.
All right, he's left us.
He was producing his own milk at the time.
Well, listen.
All right.
Go back to therapy.
I like the way he went to therapy because he thought he was having will problems. That's right? What the therapist told him. Yeah, you're having will problems. That's an important diagnostic category. Shauna, 20. What's going on, Shauna?
Hi. I don't really know if you could possibly tell me, but I had two kids. And since I had two kids, my breasts aren't necessarily where they should be or where I'd like them to be. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of led into, you know, more of my personal life. And I'm like,
what does that mean? What do you mean?
Yeah, what does that mean?
I'm terrified to have like intercourse with anybody because I'm afraid of taking off my clothes. I'm absolutely terrified. And I mean, that's turned a lot of guys off. And I'm like, yeah, can I just keep my shirt on? And they don't seem to like that. And I mean, they're as bad as they could possibly get.
What does that mean? What do you mean?
I mean, like, they have absolutely no firmness to them at all. And they're very saggy, and it's really embarrassing.
Yeah,
you know,
of the children, dare I ask?
Well, I recently separated from him, and I'm afraid in, you know, future, you know, intimate situations that might lead up to, you know, taking your clothes off, and I'm absolutely petrified.
Was he okay with things, the husband or whatever he was, the father of the kids?
I'm sure he never said anything to me.
So he was
I'm confused because you said it turns a lot of guys off, but then you just said you're just recently separated and you're afraid about it in the future. So which one is it?
No, I've just recently separated from him, and I mean, we were separated once before.
No, but Shauna, you've made this declaration that they're going to turn a lot of guys off, yet no guys have ever seen them.
Right. Well, I guess maybe I'm more critical on myself, but they're really bad, and I was wondering if there was something that could firm them back up somehow, or, you know, is there
surgery?
Yeah, these are called involutional changes of pregnancy. Basically, they swell up and they deflate, and then that's what you got is deflated sacs, really.
Right.
And what they do is put implants on top of the muscle. A more superficial implant tends to take care of this, because obviously, if you put an implant under the muscle, you still have the saggy stuff on top of the implant now.
Right.
You see.
Is there a lift possibly?
There's really no such thing as that. It's implants what they do.
Oh, really?
And so, there are procedures designed specifically for this, and women seem to be very happy with it.
And that wouldn't possibly be covered by medical, would it?
I don't think so.
Oh,
nice try, though.
Yeah.
Maybe your psychiatrist can recommend it as a source of overwhelming stress. Okay. Let's see. Mm. Let's talk to... This is Ashley, 22. Ashley? Ashley?
Yes. Hello, Dr. Drew.
Hello, Ashley. What's going on? You're on with Busy Phillips, UPN, hey. Thursday nights, 8:30.
Okay.
Love, Inc.
She's like, yeah, my question.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Okay, so this isn't going to be very juicy. It's more of just like something I heard while I was driving on the show a few minutes ago, and I wanted to kind of talk more about it.
Boring.
Yeah, it is kind of boring. I'm sorry.
Make it quick then.
But, okay, a girl called in and said that she had sexual feelings about women. She had to think about women in order to get off when her boyfriend was stimulating her. And you took it in a direction of, like, personal psychological problems, which she did end up having a lot of. But I wonder, is this something you do with colors normally, or do you...
No, you got to remember that what I do is sort of... I mean, what I do all day in my clinical life is I have to intuit what's going on. So what help
yes,
people
like
make
pinpoint.
Me well, what how people make me feel and what they evoke in me tells me a ton. So while they may be talking about, you know, the sky is blue, I all of a sudden get these funny feelings that I recognize as signs of something we call projective identification. That people that have primitive issues and trauma and whatnot, they evoke lots of feelings in all of us. And you, when you're in sort of mental health services, you learn to read what's evoked in you as a sign of something in the other person. And that's what sort of put me on notice that I needed to start moving down that path a little bit. But, you know, people can say, but if you notice, I asked her a couple questions about, is it just fantasy? And then something, she said something that really triggered me, and I thought, uh-oh.
Right, that she had some gender issues. But, like, for the most part, you're really progressive. So you must, like, when people call in with, like, bisexuality issues, you don't obviously think that it's, like, psychological problems right away. It can
What I take issue with is people, you know, 15-year-olds who, A, first of all, want to declare it at the dinner table that they're bisexual. That's a problem. Because 15-year-olds normally don't... Well, 15-year-olds don't normally announce anything about their sexuality anywhere to their parents. Secondly, if they say that, you know, it's one thing to have a mature bisexual orientation, but to be confused about, I don't know if I'm gay, I don't know if I'm not, sexual confusion, that's a trauma symptom. That just is.
Okay.
So, okay?
Okay, just a question I had. Thanks for all your work
on
your show.
Okay, Ashley, take care.
Bye.
Ooh. Jim has got something about the breast lift. Jim 28? All right, I'm going to take him after the commercial
all
break
right.
here. But he works for a plastic surgeon, and he has some sort of common procedure he wants to recommend. So we will get that after the break. The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. Busy Phillips in here with us tonight. We'll be right back. Again, with more Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Busy Phillips in with us tonight. UPN Yay. Thursday, 8:30, Love, Inc. Holly Robinson Pete, right?
Holly Robinson Pete. She's got four kids. She's got twins.
They have four kids now?
They have four kids.
What are the ages?
The youngest one is like, I want to say 10 months. Or
wow. How does she do that?
She's a Wonder Woman. I don't know. She's crazy. She's wrote a book about football. She's like a mom. And she's a very active mom. She's not one of these moms that like works and she delegates to other people the parenting of her children. I mean, like she'll come to work at, you know, 9:30 or 10 a.m. having already been at school for a meeting, or, you know, leave early to go to a recital. She's really active in her kids' lives.
I've met both.
I look up to her.
Both she and her husband, they're very nice people.
Yeah, they're great. They're a great couple, and, you know, they I really do look up to her as because she's a bit older than me, as the kind of, you know, as the kind of actress and mom I want to be someday.
So when are you gonna have kids?
Next week. I don't
Next
know,
week?
Drew.
Really?
No,
cool.
I really want to have kids. Michelle had a baby, and then my best friend in Arizona is pregnant right now, and I feel like it's just that I've gotten to that age where people start having kids like for real, like
and
not getting
get
knocked
the, women
up.
Get these crazy baby cravings. I have a baby.
I'm not kidding you. I literally have been having the conversation for the past month with my boyfriend and my mother and everybody. Like, I just don't want to have a baby. I really want to have my own baby.
I just want you to know that though men want to be ahead of a family and be part of a family, they have no baby feelings. That we just don't get.
I know. Yeah. My boyfriend's older than me. He doesn't have any baby feelings. I feel like
men just don't. This craving for a baby that women get. We don't get that. We get the, you know, we get excited about being part of a family and, you know, that being the head of a family and, you know.
I read somewhere too that babies, when they first come out, a lot of times look much more like the father than the mother to encourage bonding. Do you think there's any truth to that?
It sounds interesting.
I think it's an interesting theory. Yeah, I don't know.
Generally what the guys see, it's like, ugh. So, all right, John 16, you're on Busy Phillips.
Hi, John.
Hi. I just have two questions for you. First thing is just please hear me out, and I swear to God, this is not a bogus call. Okay.
You sound a little creepy, so I'm ready to believe you.
Oh my gosh, sorry about that. I've been I'm really, really nervous.
Okay. Yeah. Don't be nervous.
Lately, I've just been really like had this attraction to like bestiality, but the thought of actually having sex with an animal sickens me.
What is it you're sort of aroused by?
I don't know. I don't really know, but I know that like I was, like when I was a bit younger, I was really like a few months ago, I was really, really into watching porn. Like I was addicted to it. And
yeah,
you know, lately
that's really what this kind of sounds like to me, John, is that when people get addicted to porn, they tend to go for more and more levels of arousal from the porn. So they get into more bizarre stuff. They get into making direct contact with people, and then finally they make flesh contact. You know, it just progresses. That's part, like any addiction, porn addiction progresses. And I bet this is just part of that need for higher levels of thrill and arousal that you get.
Oh, God, thanks. I thought I was going to, like, turn into a serial killer or something when I grow up.
Aww.
No. But porn addiction is, you know, internet porn addiction is something very, very serious. It's one of the most rapidly increasing categories of disease states we know of right now. And there.
No, I know. And I've been listening to your show for, like, 4 or 5 years now, and it's really helped me so much. And you actually helped me because one of my friends was cutting herself, and she was going to commit suicide.
Ugh.
And me and my one friend went and told her, and they got her into counseling and stuff, and now she's doing great.
Oh, great. Well, so congratulations. Yeah. Well done, John. But take care of yourself now, too. I mean, you may want to look into a 12-step process. You may want to get your own counselor to sort of work in this. Someone who specializes in addiction and compulsive behaviors.
This maybe is, just some therapy weekly. Is that okay?
Once you really get into the addiction, you need people who are used to helping with that particular problem. Because they can make progress psychologically and keep doing the behavior. David, 20.
Hi, Dr. Gu. How are you?
What's up, David? Good.
I had a question about your Discovery Health show.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys coming out with the DVD of the season at all?
I don't know. The Discovery Health owns all that, so I have no idea.
Oh, really?
Don't know. But what part do you want to view again and again?
Well, actually, I haven't watched the show, and I really want to watch it, but I don't have the channel.
Ah, well, there you go.
I'm actually doing a report on sexual addiction for my human sexuality class.
Well, the sexual addiction thing, I actually did a long interview with a sex addict, and I don't think they aired it. Or if they aired it, it's a pretty honed down version of it.
Oh, really?
So there's not too much about that on there. Okay?
Okay.
You're in Los Angeles, so check Delamo Treatment Center. They've got a lot of good resources if you want to just sort of talk to somebody over there. Steve, 26.
Hi, Dr. Drew. Steve. I've actually been a big fan of yours for a couple of years when you had your TV show of Adam Carolla.
Back in on MTV, back in the day?
Yeah.
Busy, did you ever do the TV show?
I never did the TV show.
Really?
I think I missed it by a few months. I think I started acting and then it went off the air.
Right. It's your fault.
Probably.
Actually, I have one question. I'm a single father, and my daughter's about 2.5, and she'll be like 3 in May. Her mother is, I know she's like somewhere in town. She just hasn't really made any attempt to contact me for the past almost a year and a half or so now.
What's up with mom?
She left us, split up with me about when she was 2 months old. So I've been pretty much on my own with her, with like the help of my parents.
Steve, what I'm asking is, it is not normal for a woman to abandon a baby like that. You just heard Busy waxing poetic about her cravings for a baby. It made me want one briefly. But the fact that a woman does this means there's something terribly, terribly wrong. So what's the problem?
Well, it's just I know she's been making contacts with like some of my friends and telling me that she wants to.
What is wrong
with
her?
What's wrong with her?
Is she a drug addict?
Right.
She was for like a little while. She's been in and out of the system when she was younger.
Okay, Steve.
A ton of times.
Steve, she's using. I guarantee you.
Well, yeah, I know heard some other people say that she's been like sleeping with her like dope dealers and.
Drug addicts don't sleep with their dope dealers and not do drugs, okay?
I know. I'm pretty sure she is doing drugs.
No, Steve. We're all sure. Positive. Yeah. 100%.
She's
okay.
Absolutely doing
drugs. She abandoned a baby. She's hanging out with drug dealers. She's an addict. 100%. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So
what's the question?
Well, I know she's been trying to make contact with, like, some of my, mostly, like, my family members have, like, bumped into her here and there. And they've always asked, like, try to get a hold of me to see if she can come see the baby. I'm just worried, just wondering if that time that she actually does it, actually contact me directly, if I really should. I mean, she's been almost a year and a half since she's seen her last, and I'm just worried about her because then she'd leave again. See her for another year and a half.
Mom has to have died in a plane accident or something as far as you're concerned, as far as she's concerned.
Listen, I feel like women have done this for years. Like, I mean, when men split, they're like, yeah. your dad died. Your dad's right. in jail. Right. Like, and then they find out when they're 18 and it messes them up for a whole nother. No, but like, but clearly
that's,
like
that's
this
another part too. I mean, eventually she'll know that she's not, you know, is that I don't want to like put that poor, like, well, you've been lying to me all these years.
Yeah, well, I mean,
look. She needs a strong female presence in her life. Is your mom or somebody around?
Yeah, my mom. She's always been. I've lived with her right now.
All right, that's gonna be very important for this child that she have a woman.
And your mother's supportive too, right? Yeah. She's not crazy.
Definitely.
Really?
Hello.
I'm just questioning, Steve. I mean, you went for somebody who's pretty, you know, got really serious mental health issues. That wasn't because somebody in your family had something like that?
No. I've known her for years before, and we met up again like 2 years later, and we ended up going out again.
And this was not a planned pregnancy?
No. I mean,
all right.
Not totally really planned at all. I mean, for me, even to like the comment you made about men not even really wanting to have kids, to me, I actually really wanted kids.
Listen, I didn't think men don't want kids. I said they want to be a dad. They don't have a craving for a baby.
It's well, different. Women, you don't understand.
For a month or two, like a couple of years before she was born, I did kind of have like really wanted to start a family.
Yes,
totally
Steve. Yes, that's what guys want to do. They want to start a family. They don't have a craving to have a baby. Women actually have a craving, a physical craving for babiness. And you're so screwed up about it. You know, I keep saying the same thing over and over again, and you can't even distinguish between what you're feeling, which is I'm excited about starting a family and having kids, little kids, big kids, and a craving for a baby. Anderson, I need you to pot up the next call. My computer.
Can I pick it
again.
Too?
Yes, please.
All right, here we go.
Okay. Who is it?
Oh, you can't see it either?
No.
This it's is just Brad. Lying. He just gave his kidney to a coworker.
Oh, yeah. Brad, what's going on?
Hey, what's happening? I just got a couple quick questions for you.
Mm-hmm.
I gave a kidney. I actually called you last May about it, and you and Adam gave me some really good advice. And I gave the kidney in July, and then I'm just looking for, like, if there's anything I should kind of stay away from. Like, my doctor told me to stay away from, like, ibuprofen because
right.
like it's I could cause kidney failure.
Absolutely. Even Tylenol. Take lots of fluids. Avoid medications if you possibly can.
And is there a way I can get the address so that I
this
can?
This is really boring. I'm sorry I picked this.
Yeah.
So what, Adam?
So Brad? I can, because I want to be one of those
listener love lines.
Come in.
Okay, we're gonna be busy. We're gonna bring listeners in here one of these nights soon, and we're trying
really?
To get it organized. Yeah. And I think the address is 5109. Is that right, Anderson? 5109?
I don't know. I'm not there.
Anybody? Venice Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90034.
Just Google K-Rock, for God's sakes.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly. All right, Anderson, give us another one.
But, Drew, I just want to say that almost sounds like the recipe for certain disaster.
it's kind of fun. We've done it
you
before
think?
Over the years. Yeah,
oh,
years
you have?
We've done it. Yeah, yeah.
All right.
You don't keep people the whole 2 hours. You just kind of meet, you know, two through at a time. And, yeah, it's good.
All right. Fair enough.
All right, this is Alicia. She's a drunk from San Diego, 21.
Nice. Awesome.
Alicia.
Hey, Drew. How are you?
Good. What's happening?
Yeah, I just had a question. I've been meaning to call for a minute. Maybe not even lately, but the past year, just after a night of heavy drinking, you know, whether or not Coke is involved, like the next day and sometimes like the next couple of days afterwards, like the left side of my, not so much my heart, but like my shoulder, like the muscles around it, it will kind of ache, like be very sore, even to raise my arm. I don't know where, because I've been drinking since I was 16, now I'm 21, so I don't know why all of a sudden
I don't know what. I've been binge drinking since I was 16. I no idea why I would get weird pains in my body.
No,
are you kidding?
I'm not a binge drinker by all means, but just
whether or not it involves cocaine, busy whether or not.
Whether or not it involves cocaine. I mean, that's just up to the night itself.
It can be a night where I will drink.
Could involve ecstasy.
But if I do coke, then the next couple of days afterwards, it's just like the, I don't know, like the left side of like my shoulder, everything.
All right, well, here's probably the deal. You probably just, when you've been intoxicated, you probably don't move at night. You probably sleep on one side or the other, and you just sort of get stiffness in that arm from the position you're in. You should, because you're doing cocaine, go ahead and get a cardiac evaluation just to make sure that some of this isn't of a cardiac origin. Almost certainly is not.
I think she can chance it.
Almost certainly is not. But
she's not going to get a cardiac evaluation. She's going to be drunk.
Robin, 19.
Hi. I just started my 5th month of pregnancy, and for a couple weeks now, my breasts have been leaking this clear fluid that is mostly clear, but sometimes there's like a little red tinge to it.
Well, the clear fluid is milk, right?
I don't know.
Yes, that's breast milk.
Oh, my God. Welcome to motherhood, my friend. You are almost there. All kinds of crazy stuff's going to happen. This stuff's going to come out of your boob, and it's going to feed your kid.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm worried because it's like red sometimes. Like clear, well, like it's supposed to be. Or even,
is there a nipple piercing involved? I mean, no.
No.
Do you have any tenderness?
Not really, no. It's usually when I'm asleep.
Yeah. Well, you may have some degree of what's called mastitis. You can get some inflammation or even infection in the breast tissue when they swell up and during pregnancy. So you want to use hot compresses on any spots that are tender, and you want to call your doctor and tell them. Sometimes they use little antibiotics with this. This is Ian, 21. Ian? Ian?
Ian?
Caller who goes by Ian? Hey, Ian, what's happening? You're on with Busy Phillips.
Hi. Hey. Busy Phillips, first of all, I love Priests and Greeks.
Oh, thank you.
That was an awesome show. But I got kind of a serious question, Dr. Drew. My dad, I found out about 2 months ago that he has Lou Gehrig's disease.
Mm-hmm.
And I got kind of the brief breakdown from him about, you know, what it does and everything. But from what I've read on the internet, I didn't really talk to any doctors about this or anything yet, but from what I read on the internet, I heard that around 90% of people with Lou Gehrig's disease pass away within 2 years.
Yeah, that's been the statistics. There's some things that are improving that a bit.
And I was just wondering if you know, like, how close they are to coming up with a treatment.
I don't know of any. I'm sure there's a lot of research going on because this is obviously a very serious condition. It's basically a disease that attacks the motor function of the body, and so you lose all motor function. You get weakness everywhere, and eventually you can't breathe. And it's very,
yeah,
very.
Yeah, I mean, like right now, I'm noticing that he's talking a lot slower, and he's thinking a lot slower, and he has to have a breathing machine right now.
Oh, my. It's called amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, or what Lou Gehrig kind of. It's also called ALS, or amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. And, boy, there's some stuff going on, but it's still a very, very serious condition. I'm sorry to hear about that.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to deal with. Like, it's breaking apart the family, kind of.
I bet. Aww.
Like, you know, we're a big family. We're 8 people in our immediate family.
Uh-huh.
And we've always been a very tight-knit group.
Yeah.
But lately, like...
You have to maintain that for, you know what I mean? You need to, like... Because you're actually, as hard as this will be, and you know, your father will obviously, like, go through a really horrible time, and you guys are going to have to witness him in this kind of pain that you can't stop, you know... You have to know that you have each other and that you're given an opportunity to say goodbye to him. He's, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know, and make your peace with your father. And
why is the family pulling apart because of this?
Seems.
I mean, well, they're not, like, falling apart, but, like, we're, like, whenever I try to talk to any of my brothers or my sister about it, we kind of just, like, shed away from the subject. We're not, I mean, like, I don't really feel like the family is really, like, dealing with it, you know what I mean? Like, really looking at it in the eye, you know what I mean?
Yes, it does sound like people are having a real difficult time with it. Why don't you contact his neurologist and see if there are support societies. There's lots of people that have been through this. Maybe other families you can get in touch with, or maybe, again, referral to another professional. But I'm certainly as a neurologist, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and contact him or her and say, you know, this family is just not coping. Maybe this is there some support groups or other families that have been through this we can contact. All right?
Yeah.
I think that would be very, very helpful. I know you get a lot of resistance from your family, but boy, if you think there's trouble now, after the fact, people are going to be all unraveled if they don't get with it a little bit now, at least.
Yeah, okay. I can't even, you know, imagine my family without him.
Don't put yourself through all that right now. Just get focused on trying to get support, deal with the day in, day out. It's a pretty long process, and as best you can, get people to talk about it, because it sounds like everyone's got big secrets and no one wants to feel the feelings associated with what's actually happening here. This is Allison 20.
Hi. About 3 weeks ago, I started developing manly BO. Like, I just stink all day long. And my boyfriend describes it as smelling like a lumberjack.
Are you from Berkeley?
Lumberjack. Nice.
Totally awesome.
Yeah,
it's great at the gym.
He's a keeper, too, by the way.
Seriously, the guy that's like, you smell like a lumberjack, baby. did you change your diet?
No, nothing's changed. That's why I'm wigged out about
it. Hormones change.
The same I've always eaten, and I haven't changed any prescriptions or birth control, but it's just developed out of nowhere.
Hmm. Are you sure it's body odor?
Yeah, it's from my armpits for sure.
Do you have any abscesses or anything? Any skin problems there?
No.
That's
just
weird.
Smelly.
It's smelly. I get that.
Have you tried a different kind of deodorant?
Yeah, I switched deodorants and it hasn't helped.
What are you using now?
Like secret antiperspirant deodorant.
Do you smell
basic.
It? Do you
I'm
smell
sorry?
This? Do you smell this?
Yeah, I notice it.
Oh,
you sure?
Weird.
You sure it's not just your boyfriend's been telling you you smell like a lumberjack?
No. I'm at the gym, and I'm like, oh, what's that smell? And then I realize, oh, it's me.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, okay, I have some ideas. That sort of putrid smell is usually bacteria.
Uh-huh.
And so somehow maybe something has colonized you. These anaerobic bacteria in the armpit and whatnot can sort of start to produce gases. And you may want to go to a dermatologist, maybe some antibiotics or antibiotic lotion, that sort of thing might really help this out.
Yeah, go to a dermo. Go to a dermatologist.
Okay.
Because I had knee surgery about a month ago, and I got a weird rash on my knee. So I was taking antibiotics for that.
Oh, well, you said you hadn't taken any medication.
These are like major detail.
Yeah, I mean, you announce you had none of these things, and then you go into great detail.
I don't know. There have been like no changes in my life for like the past year, aside from the knee surgery and the antibiotics I was on and the weird rash that I had on my leg. I don't know what's going on.
Of course that's what this is, Allison. Okay?
I'm sorry?
Of course that's what this is. That's why you're having this.
Okay.
It changes the bacterial makeup on your skin. I mean, for goodness sakes. Okay, here is Taylor, so 15. She what?
So she should go to the dermatologist, right?
Yeah, go to the dermatologist. Taylor, 15.
Oh, hi. Okay, so I'm 15, and I started having sex at 12. And
how old was the guy when you were 12?
19. That's the 19. Match.
18. 17.
How old was the guy?
17.
How old was the guy? He was like 17.
17.
Ooh,
thank you.
Busy.
Thank
Got
you.
It. Well done.
17.
Yeah, and my problem is now I can't, like, get off with a guy.
Yeah, okay, and you shouldn't because you're anyway.
She's 15 even now.
Because you're 15. Because, like, women don't even reach their sexual maturity until when, Drew?
Well, a lot of young women don't begin even to have orgasmic function until
19, 20?
18 to 22, yeah. And so it's unrealistic of you to think that you would have that. And almost no women your age, if they were to have sexual intercourse, would have orgasm. That's very unusual.
Mm. It just doesn't happen.
So why the insistence on being sexually active at 15? That's a bad sign.
Why the insistence on being sexually active when you're 12?
Well,
why did
was,
you?
Yeah.
I mean, that wasn't your insistence, obviously.
Well, are you asking me?
Yeah. Well, sure.
Oh, well, it's probably I started using drugs.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah, but I'm clean now.
Yeah, well, part of your recovery should be your sexual behaviors, too. Because about 80% of addicts have sexual compulsions, sexual addictions. So do you have a sponsor now?
Yeah, I do.
Did you talk to her about this?
No.
Okay, you need to talk to her about boys, okay? Very important. Okay?
Okay.
All right, excellent. I'm glad you're sober. It's excellent, excellent, excellent. This is Jerry, 15.
Hi.
Hey, Jerry, what's happening?
Not much.
I know I'm still kind of young. I'm about 15 and a half. But I'm just kind of worried, like, about my penis size.
As every 15-year-old male is, so here we go.
I know. Yeah, just, I don't know. When I'm, like, erect, it's just, it's only about 3 inches. Yeah.
That was not me. I didn't do that. That was Anderson.
It sounded kind of like you.
I know it did. It may be something Anderson has on file of me from the last time I was here, but that was not me. I just want to say that. I did not laugh.
Okay.
Jerry, listen, you got a long time to go, buddy. Don't worry. It is not. One thing I can promise you is it's going to not end up 3 inches. And that, no way.
Okay.
You got 5 more years at least of growing.
See, that wasn't me either.
How are you otherwise? Are you normal stature? Do you have
normal
body hair?
Yeah, I'm about like 5'7 or 5'8.
Normal body hair?
Yeah.
Okay. How old were you when you went through puberty?
Like about, 13, 14,
that's when
I
started.
Guess.
Okay.
And, he's still going through it.
You're early in the game.
A little
here.
And
remember, most men are in the sort of 5 to 7 range. I mean, that's about 85% of men are in that range.
Okay.
So you're just a couple inches off normal here. All
right.
And and you got plenty of time and growing to do. So it's going to be fine, all right?
I just have one more question.
Yes.
Uh-oh. Were you abused as a child?
Oh, that's it, of course. He's a bogus caller. We got us.
Not really, because, why is a kid measuring himself at that age?
15-year-olds will do that kind of stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you abused as a child, Drew?
No, can't say I was. But by the way, if you're going to give a bogus call, the payoff shouldn't be something totally ridiculous. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
There was no payoff. No payoff.
Payoff, and also he just really did sound like a pathetic 15-year-old kid, which is probably what he is.
We got to hear Busy laugh at him, too, which was good.
How did you get that?
That's
crazy,
not you.
Eerie...
That's not you.
It isn't? It sounds just like me.
No, I think it's a playmate.
No, it's Charlie
Twins,
right?
Anderson, that's great.
It's Charlie Sheehan's
old girlfriend.
Oh,
you're a playmate too, I forgot. It's who?
Who?
Charlie Sheehan's
Denise
old girlfriend.
Sheehan or Sheen?
Sheen.
Isn't there a guy named Charlie Sheehan?
Wasn't that like half the female population?
Yeah, this one was, he was with for quite a while. And then they dated.
Ooh, we sat next to one of Charlie Sheehan's old girlfriends at dinner.
Maybe this is she. And then they dated the, let's see, the...
I bet I can imitate that. Did that sound like it? Is that good?
This all night.
Sorry. All right.
Then these girls dated the Nelson twins. Remember?
Oh, Gunner Nelson.
Matt and Gunner.
Yeah. Wait, isn't one of them fat?
They gave me drugs when I was a kid.
One of them's on Celebrity Fit Club, Gunner Nelson.
Right?
He's fat, yeah.
Oh, goodness.
I love that show.
All right, we're going to take another break here. That's Busy Phillips. You can see her on Love, Inc. She plays Denise, UPN, Thursday, 8:30. And we'll be right back. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline. We'll be right back.
Phillips on Loveline. The show is Love, Inc., UPN, Thursday, 8:30. She plays Denise. We're taking your calls here at 1-800-LOVE-191. And Busy, I think Anderson likes you.
Anderson's always liked me.
Why do you
think that? But I mean, like, he never is enthusiastic about guests. He doesn't applaud for them. Never.
Anderson.
I applaud for everybody, Drew, and I like Busy, but yeah.
Anderson, we've had nice times over the years.
Yeah, we had a little fling. It was great.
Yeah,
oh,
it was,
no kidding. See,
it was
you.
Like a 30-second fling on the radio, and she was back in North Carolina, but still.
And I was drunk.
And
remember?
She was wasted, yes.
And I was wasted
on
the
we
show.
Got, that's why we got along so well, because so was I.
Well, let's reset that scene. You were both drunk, of course.
Remember? Because you were doing the show in Wilmington from like 1 in the morning till 3 in the morning?
Right.
Or was it even later?
No, it was 1 to 3.
1 to 3. And you asked us to come, and we went out to a bar that night.
Yes.
Michelle and Oliver Hudson and me.
Yes. Right.
And then we showed up. Like, we had a drive. We took a cab, actually.
What is Oliver Hudson doing now?
Oliver's like been working a lot apparently, and he's engaged to that girl he was dating then, Erin Bartlett, who's an actress and a very pretty, nice woman. And I've heard that from lots of mutual friends. I haven't spoken to him in a while. I saw him about a year ago.
And then the three of you showed up wasted to do a radio show.
And we showed up wasted.
We appreciated that. That was nice.
To do the Love Line.
Good times. And then you and Anderson, because he was wasted, had a moment.
We had a moment. Because you guys were trying to tell me to break up with my boyfriend.
No, you're just broken up with him, I think. And you're like, Anderson, I broke up with my boyfriend. Oh, what are you doing?
Well, this is the story. Yes, you're right. That's actually exactly what happened. Yes. And then the next day he sent me flowers and I was like, but see, he's really a good guy. And Drew's like, busy, get out. And I didn't listen, and you were right. And it ended
up. How long did that go on for? How long?
It went on for so long. It went on for too long. I think almost 4 years.
Is that the Long Beach State guy?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he was going on the Anderson. Really, remember?
Well, that's because I went to Long Beach State, same program.
Right. Yeah, he went to college briefly, lots of different ones, and was going to be an actor, and then has followed his brother's passion in life and has become a writer. So,
where'd you meet him?
In high school.
Nice. Well done. How about your current boyfriend? Where'd you meet him?
I met him, I tested for one of his TV shows, and I didn't get the part.
Nice. That's good, too. Has he met your parents out in Scottsdale?
He has. He's come to Scottsdale, and he met my parents. He was there for Thanksgiving.
Nice.
I think he was a bit horrified by my Scottsdale life. I don't know.
Tell me why.
My family can be a bit intense and a little overwhelming, I think. And,
what do you mean?
My family is all very loud. Like, I'm very loud, and my mother's very loud, and my sister's very loud. And then, that's right. And then when you get all three of us together, it's just a bit overwhelming, I think.
I bet he had a good time.
He had a good time. He's nodding. Doing? He's nodding, yes. Yeah. My sister's actually working for a radio station in Arizona. She's doing a bit of DJing.
Nice.
Which is, she's maybe starting a new career as a radio personality, which is kind of fantastic.
All right, here's Gary, 22. You're on with Busy Phillips, Gary.
Hey, Gary.
Hey,
what's up?
Yeah, my question is my friend likes anal sex. She gets off on it, but I'm sure if it's cool or not.
Yeah, we're getting an awful lot of bogus calls tonight.
Yeah, what is going on?
Yeah. Is it cool or not is not really a question. That's why I know that one's bogus. Let's keep moving on.
Is that cool? My girlfriend really likes it in the butt. Is that cool? Yeah, it's awesome.
What's that, Alec? Gary?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
My girlfriend, she likes it. She says it's the only way she can get off. But I listened to your show and said the way she can get hemorrhoids and everything.
I love anal sex, and I actually masturbate that way as well.
I would think the way to know whether you're likely to get into trouble is if you have pain. And if she's one of these people that doesn't have pain and seems to tolerate it and like it, whatever. You know what I'm saying? If she has pain, then yes, you're tearing tissues. You can cause problems, and it really concerns me. The way, you may not appreciate this, Busy. I don't know if you do this for your boyfriend.
What?
These women call and they subject themselves to this stuff no matter how much it hurts.
No, I would never subject myself to anything that hurt me.
Alex, 21.
Hi, I went to the doctor a while ago because, out of nowhere, one of my testicles had got, kind of enlarged.
Yeah.
And then I noticed there was, a little ball in there, too. So I had got scared thinking it was maybe cancer or something. And I went, and he told me it was something like a hydrocele or a hydrocele.
Right, hydrocele, right.
Yeah, and,
cancers really feel hard. They're, rock hard.
Yeah, even shined the light through it, and the light did pass through it, so he said it's not cancer.
That's always fun, isn't it? It takes a big flashlight and holds your testy up.
That sounds like a really fun game to do.
Not really. But
I'm sorry. No, it wasn't fun for you.
No, it's not like that. But that was a year ago, and they pretty much just told me to go home, and if it gets larger, to come back and this and that. But the thing is, I don't have insurance, so it's not like I could really do much. So once in a while, it does get enlarged again.
Don't worry about it. Hydrocele, cystocele, varicocele, all that stuff, don't worry about them, okay? They're all nothing. Right. Bigger or smaller, unless they get huge, I mean, they can be an issue sometimes, but more often than not, they're nothing. Terrence, 18.
How are you doing?
Good. What's up, Terrence?
What's going on, guys? I want to know, like, when a girl has an orgasm, where does it come from? Like, in her body, what church is it?
You're asking.
Wait, what?
You mean when she has an ejaculation? You mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, because women have orgasms without ejaculating, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, but the occasional talent ones do produce fluid. And okay. There are many glands down there that can participate in this. The Skene's glands, Bartholin's glands, there are glands in the wall of the vagina, and they all come together and have contraction and produce a bunch of fluid.
Okay.
All right?
Yes, sir. Can I give a shout-out real fast?
No, no. This is Luis 18.
Hi, how you doing? It's Luis, but you could call me Gian if you want.
Call you what?
Tion?
Tion, yeah.
Tion. Right. We'll call you that.
Yeah, I have a weird question. It's like, when I'm with my girlfriend sometimes, like, I'm still a virgin, so, you know? Like, I don't know, I don't get it. It's just, I can't get it up, you know?
All right, Anderson, you need to knock that off.
Well, it's very, how many times has this happened to you?
Like, 4 times already. It's like, it's unbelievable because when I ejaculate, it stands up. But when I'm with my girlfriend, it's like, it's hard for me to get it up, you know? It doesn't stand up at all. Like, sometimes, like, my girl, she gets pissed off. She thinks I'm doing it on purpose. She thinks I don't find her attractive, you know?
Have a couple shots of Jack.
Wait, how old is he? How old are you?
18.
18.
A couple beers.
Is this with the expectation that you're about to have sex, or is it any sort of encounter with her? You have trouble.
I think like when I'm about to do sex with my girlfriend, it's like,
all right,
so weird.
But Tion, that's a really common thing. That very, very often men on their first outing have erectile problems, and that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to continue having them or that it's a big issue for them. Now, the fact that you keep sort of having it is a little bit of a concern, especially the way the girlfriend responds to it, the way she demeans you as angry.
That's weird.
Well, it's weird, and then the next time you get together, you're fearful it's going to happen again, and just the anxiety about that makes it happen again. So my suspicion is you'll kind of get through this, and once you actually have sex with this person, things will kind of be okay. Jeff, 16.
Oh, hello?
What's up,
hello.
Jeff? You're on the air.
Wow, that was quick. hi, Dr. Drew. You, I called like 2 nights ago. With,
yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
I know that you told me to take the pills to help and whatnot, and I haven't run into any of the serious problems.
Good.
I was just wondering how long I would have to keep taking pills.
Pills. You're talking about aspirin?
Yeah.
I told you to take 325 milligrams of aspirin once a day.
For another week or so?
I do it like 2 weeks, yeah.
2 weeks? Just, okay, yeah. And then one last question.
Yeah.
How in the world do you get a job, like, as a screener for Loveline or, like...
Start off by not taking birth control pills on a bet?
I think you'd like this guy, Anderson.
Why?
He sounds like your kind of guy.
Oh, he does not.
The screening jobs come up once in a great while, and right now there aren't any. I guess if... where does Ann post that?
Ann usually walks into K-Rock and she'll see some guy who's answering phones for K-Rock and she'll be like, maybe that guy could do it.
Okay, so I guess the way to do it is going to be a phone screener at K-Rock generally. And then express your interest. All right, it's 1-800-LOVE-191. Busy Phillips is in here with us. We're going to take it. Woo. You running out of steam, honey?
Yeah, I'm so tired.
Really? You got to work tomorrow?
Yeah. And I actually woke up early this morning and did Adam Carolla's morning show.
Oh, how was it? Was it fun?
Yeah, it was fun. It was good to see him.
It's good.
I felt like I had to see you both at the same time.
That's
so
good. That's
on the same day.
That's cool. And you'll be showering us again or showcasing again your stunning brilliance, your stunning acting brilliance.
My immense talent, yes.
Okay, when we get back, we're going to talk to Brian, who has molluscum contagiosum. That sound good? Delicious,
yeah,
right?
It's
a nice appetizer. Okay, 1-800-LOVE-191. That's Busy Phillips. I'm Dr. Drew. We'll be right back.
Loveline will be right back, so get your problems ready. Ready.
That's right. It's Love Line. Busy Phillips in here with me tonight. And I'm apologizing. I'm getting hoarse by the minute here. It's weird. I'm like getting short of breath and hoarse. Can't you hear that?
No.
It's so frustrating. Okay, 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. And this is Brian, our buddy with the molluscum contagiosum.
What? What is that?
It's an appetizer you get at Italian restaurants. Brian, what do you got, buddy?
Hello. Hi. Yeah, I was recently diagnosed with that, and they're treating me with liquid nitrogen.
Right. They basically, these look like little zits, but busy.
Right, yeah.
But they're kind of hard. You scrape the top off, a little hard thing comes off. And they're caused by a virus. Children actually get molluscum contagiosum, but in adults, it's a sexually transmitted disease.
Right. Basically, my question is, I've been reading up on the whole liquid nitrogen treatment, and it says that it can damage healthy nerves nearby the treatment site, and I'm wondering if that could cause any, like, future adverse effects.
Yeah, if they do deep burning with it, sure. But done properly, no, it shouldn't. I've never seen any ill effects from it, that's for sure.
Okay.
Okay?
All right, that's
it. Busy, any questions for Brian?
No.
Aren't you kind of turned on by that? Molluscum contagiosum? It sounds so poetic, doesn't it?
Kind of does. It just sounds kind of gross and unfortunate.
It's pretty nasty.
No, it isn't. It's just little tiny, like bubbles. Right, Brian?
Yeah, they're all kind of red and it kind of looks like zit, but zit. Since they treated it.
See, if it were like me, I would just scrape them off myself.
You can. You can actually do that. They used to advise you just shell them out. You shell the top off. And it kind of gets
confused. I would love it. I would love it.
Oh, you're a picker. I love That's stuff right. like that.
Yeah, I'm a picker. I'm a total picker. Oh, I wanted to tell you, I got really bad for a while, and then I decided that it was like that totally psychological, and I really have to check myself every time I go to the mirror and start picking at nothing.
But you like popping your boyfriend's zits and stuff, right?
Yeah, that's right. I'll pop anything.
I came up with a theory just today that girls who are like caretakers and good moms and stuff are pickers, and those who don't like to pick don't really care. They're not good caretakers.
That's interesting. I will subscribe to that.
Because every girl that I've been with that's been like a total caretaker is always picking at me. And the ones that aren't really good
caretakers.
And
if you think about our primate heritage, isn't that basically just a grooming behavior, right?
Oh, my God. Can I tell you the cutest thing?
Yes.
I didn't know that babies did this, but my friend's baby's 3 months old, and I was hanging out with her today. She's actually my goddaughter. And if you press on her foot, like sort of on the ball of her foot, her toes curl around your finger. It's like their primate...
Well, their fingers do. Their hand does it too. They're a grasp response.
Yeah. Right. No, but her little toes.
Yep.
And I guess it's like a primate response from like when they had to hang on to trees or their mom's back.
That's so cute.
See, Drew, I really want a baby.
I'm going to go show you a bunch of reflexes. You'll freak out.
All right.
Austin, 24.
Hello.
Hello. Austin.
Hey, buddy. What's happening?
I love your show, Drew.
Thank you. What's happening, Austin?
This is a serious question. I'm really concerned. It's ruined my whole sex life for the last past year. I'm 24 now. I was 23, and I live in Richmond, Missouri. I went down to Branson, Missouri with a couple of buddies, and we went out camping, and I woke up the next day, and my penis was hurting. So I went around and back in the woods, and I checked it out, you know, and I had some bite marks on there. So I waited and I went back to a doctor and he said I was bitten by a spider and my penis like swelled up and he said it would go down, but it hasn't gone down for the past year. And my biggest question and fear is every relationship that I've been into or girls that I've met and we've gone into sexual contact, it looks like my penis still looks normal, but it's still like extremely swollen. I mean, it sounds like every guy's dream, but it's not. It's ruined my whole sex life, and I didn't know if this is something I need to keep.
Wait, hold on a second. There's a lot of confusing issues here.
Totally confusing.
It's painful?
There's no pain. There's no, like, bleeding, swelling.
Then why does it bother you?
Because when I was bitten by that spider, it swelled up, but the swelling went down.
So why does that bother you that it hasn't gone down? Why is it troubling?
Okay, because it's ruined my sex life because every girl that I've had sexual encounters with,
yes,
it's only lasted like 2 minutes. It's painful for them.
It's painful for them.
Because it's so big now? That's hard.
Yeah, I mean, that's every guy's dream, but to me, it's frustrating.
Awesome. Right. There's something,
because you were probably like a good like 10 inches before, and now
there's something
like
very wrong about this story. Yeah.
I'm a big boy.
I think it's bogus. First of all, how long before this so-called bite developed had you had sexual intercourse with somebody?
Like, how long was my penis?
No. Oh, my. You went camping. Had you had sex before you went camping when you got the bite, so-called bite?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that wasn't a, I can pretty much guarantee you that wasn't a spider bite. You need to go see a urologist, okay?
Do you have any idea what it might be?
It could be any sores in the penis, I pretty much guarantee you, are a sexually transmitted disease.
Oh, I have not. There's no sores on there. I've been to, went to Planned Parenthood.
Oh, my God.
You said there was a bite.
What is wrong with people?
How could there be a bite, something you see there, if there's nothing there?
No, there was two bite marks.
Okay, right. That's what I'm saying. In all probability, that was a sexually transmitted disease, and that was improperly diagnosed, I suspect. And you need to go back, go to a urologist, go to a dermatologist to get proper diagnosis. But urologists will be able to give you some suggestions on what can be done to restore the normal anatomy. It shouldn't be a big deal. The fact that you haven't done that, I find bizarre. The fact that you're obsessing about this so much and still haven't really gone to the right place, that's very funny. Yeah. This is Randy, 28. Randy?
Hey, Dr. Drew.
Hey, buddy. I'm with Busy Phillips.
Hi.
Hey, I just wanted to let you know that I really appreciate everything that you do. I've been listening to your show for a long time, and it's great that you're out here trying to help people and fix some of the screwed up people in society. I had kind of a weird question, though. My wife was on...
Me Depo being one Rivera. Of them.
My wife was on Depo Provera for about 7 or 8 years, and shortly after she got off the birth control, she started exhibiting symptoms of what we later found out to be lupus nephritis. I'm just wondering, have you ever heard of anything that the hormones from the shots and the birth control would cause lupus, or where that might have come from, or why it didn't manifest
until lupus nephritis.
After the lupus?
You said she developed kidney disease.
Well, she developed systemic lupus nephritis. It's primarily
kidneys. Randy. Nephritis is kidney inflammation. Systemic lupus erythematosus is lupus.
Right, it's the erythematosus, but they said that it was affecting the kidneys as well
joint. Hold on, slow down. So she had nephritis. You know, the nephritic component to these things can be medication related, but they should be able to test for that. And even, you know, if you're having a general lupus syndrome that's medication related, which there is such a thing, again, they should be able to sort that out. A young woman who has lupus usually is not medication related, and we really don't know what triggers those. Okay?
Okay, so it's not...
It's incidental. It's nothing to do with that. All right, Busy, that about wraps it up here. We're going to take a little break, okay?
Fantastic.
You're going to hang around. I know you're tired. You've had a long day. You got to work tomorrow. You're like, get me out of here.
Oh, poor me. I'm an actress with a job.
I know. Yeah. A generally brilliant actress, though.
Yeah, pretty much. What? No. Thanks.
Okay, we're going to take a break here. It's Loveline. Be right back.
If you need help,
call Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Well, Busy, thank you so much for coming in here tonight. I just genuinely appreciate it. It's been too long. I hope you'll come back soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good luck on the show. It's 8:30 UPN Thursday nights. Be sure to check it out. Love, Inc. Busy Phillips. Support her wherever she may show up with her brilliant acting. Tomorrow night, Rainn Wilson and BJ Novak from The Office.
They are so funny.
They are so funny. I love that show.
Yeah.
And until that time, it's Dr. Drew saying good night and stay well.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.